Well, in the few minutes that we have together this morning, I want us to think about the name of Jesus. Names are very powerful and very personal, aren't they? I'm sure that lots of you have names that perhaps you don't like, maybe middle names that maybe you don't like. I don't have a middle name, but many of you do. Who wants to confess to having a middle name this morning? Who wants to tell us what's your middle name?
Joezza.
Wow, I don't know anybody else called that. Fantastic. Who else has got a middle name? Esther, what's your middle name?
Lydia.
I've got a niece called Lydia. Isaac, what's yours? David. Excellent, excellent name. Ethan, what's your middle name?
Samuel.
There we go. There's a theme here, isn't there? What's your middle name, Boaz?
Gabriel.
That's a very Christmassy middle name, isn't it? Excellent. Who else has got a middle name? Any adults want to admit to having a middle name? Gemma, what's your middle name?
Bridie.
Bridie. That's an Irish name, I think. Yes, excellent. Tom, have you got a middle name?
Stuart.
Stuart. Yeah, I can. You look a bit like a Stuart with that beard. I can see that. Carol, do you have a middle name?
Wendy.
Oh, there we are. Lovely. Okay, so we have these middle names, all right, and we often keep them quiet, but they're quite powerful, aren't they? Some of you will perhaps know that if your mother uses your middle name, then you're in trouble. Names are used like that, and names. If you know somebody's name, it gives you a little bit of authority and power. Those of you who are teachers or have taught in Sunday school know that. If maybe at the start of the year and you're still getting to know the children's names and somebody's misbehaving just a little bit, but you can't remember their name, it's really difficult. You can't really tell them off properly or keep them under control. But once you know their name, then you can say, Fred, and then hopefully suddenly they behave. But without their name, it's very difficult to do that. And of course, I'm sure none of you have had this experience, but if you ever get arrested by the police or the police question you, the first thing they want to know is, what's your name? And they have that over you then. And in biblical times, names were even more important. They really identified who you were, and knowing someone's name really, really mattered. And often, of course, when we look back over history, we've forgotten so many people's names, haven't we? And as we forget their names, we forget about them too. If you go to a cemetery and you look around, all we know about most of the people in that cemetery will be their names, perhaps, and when they lived and died. That's what is remembered about them, just the name. It lives on, perhaps, even when other things have gone by the wayside. And in the passage that we read from Matthew's Gospel, we have three names of Jesus, or more accurately, two names and one title about the Lord Jesus. So I just want to spend a few minutes looking at each of these names. So the first one, obviously, is Jesus. That was his name. That's what his father called him, or stepfather Joseph called him. He called him Jesus. And he did that because that's what the angel of the Lord had said to him. Do you remember in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, talking about Mary, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, why did Joseph get that instruction? Well, Joseph got the instruction because in those days, the naming ceremony, just like today, is very important. When Elias was born, or a few weeks after Elias was born, we had to go down to the civic center in Swansea, and we had to register his birth. And in return, we had to pay for it. Mine's very expensive now. We got a piece of paper, a birth certificate, and it had Elias Amos Barnes, and then mother, Sharon Louise Barnes, father Mark Barnes. And we had this bit of paper there, and that's how the government, if you like, knows that I'm Elias's dad, because of that bit of paper. And in Jesus's day, they didn't have bits of paper like that, But the way that people would know who was the dad, who was accepting this child as their own, was that the father would officially name the child. So what Joseph was doing here, he was recognizing this child. And although he wasn't the real father, because of course the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary, he married Mary, and he acted as a stepfather to Jesus, and he was kind of like adopting Jesus as his own. And that's why he was the one who was going to name the child Jesus. But Jesus has got a long history in the Bible. The name Jesus is used often in the Old Testament. Did you know that? But in the Old Testament, it's pronounced a bit differently, because in the Old Testament, that was written in Hebrew, whereas the New Testament was written in Greek. So they pronounce the same name differently. I guess a little bit like David and Daviv in English and in Welsh. So in the Old Testament, they pronounced Jesus as Yeshua, Joshua, we pronounce it in English. And therefore, in the Old Testament too, we have this name of Jesus. And there's a very famous Joshua in the Old Testament that all of the people in Jesus' day would have known about. And this Joshua was the successor to Moses. So when Moses took the people out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, Moses took them to the edge of the Promised Land, not quite into the Promised Land, but to the edge of the Promised Land, so he could see what was there. But then it was Joshua who was the leader of God's people, and he took the people into the Promised Land. He crossed over the river and into the Promised Land, and he fought the people who were there, who were the enemies of God, and they conquered the land. That was Joshua, and he was the one who took God's people into the Promised Land. So as Jesus was named, we're supposed to think about that Joshua in the Old Testament, because Jesus too has a similar job, not in an earthly sense, conquering a territory or a land, but in a spiritual sense. Because Jesus, of course, has come in order to take God's people into the Promised Land, into heaven itself. And Jesus has come to conquer the enemy. And Jesus has come to defeat death and sin, which of course he did on the cross, which is why when the angel spoke to Joseph, they said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He'll conquer the enemy of sin, just as Joshua conquered the Midianites and others. And Jesus's name, of course, well, any name that are given by the parents, aren't they? We don't choose our own name. Our parents give us this name, which is why the angel of the Lord. It was God who chose this name for Jesus. Those of you who have had children will know that when you're choosing a name, you're not just choosing one that sounds right and doesn't remind you of anybody horrible that you have to worry about, but you're choosing a name that kind of gives you something of the hopes maybe that you have for that child. And that's what God is doing here, is he gives this name Jesus. He's helping us to see this is his hopes. Now, of course, as human parents, our hopes don't always come true. I've read about people a few times who've called their children after famous footballers, but their child doesn't grow up to be a famous footballer. Or after an actress, but their child doesn't grow up to be an actress. But of course, with God, his hopes, as it were, are not just hopes, they're plans, they're certain, they come true. And that's indeed true of the Lord Jesus. His name was fulfilled in the way that he lived. So that's the first name of Jesus, his given name. But there's another name for Jesus that's told us in this passage, and that's in verses 22 and 23. It's the name Emmanuel. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Well, this wasn't a name that Jesus was referred to by his friends and family, as far as we know. We could think of it perhaps a little bit like a nickname, but a nickname with real meaning. Nicknames often reveal our character, don't they? And they help us to know something about that person. Some of you will know Norman Hunter. Who remembers Norman Hunter? Brian, do you remember Norman Hunter's nickname? Bite your legs, yes. Bite your legs, Hunter. So that tells you a little bit about Norman Hunter. He was a footballer. I have a friend who, when he was very little, used to go very pink when he was a baby and squeal like a pig. So even now, even though he's 40, we still call him Oinky. A nickname tells you something about somebody, and this nickname of Emmanuel tells you something about Jesus. And Matthew very helpfully tells us what the name Emmanuel means. It says in verse 23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's exactly what Emmanuel means, God with us. And you see, this tells us something about Jesus's character, about who he is. Again, as we look through the Bible, we find that there are examples dotted through the Bible, lots of them, of God being with us. Think of Moses, for example, at the burning bush, who met with God and discovered that God was with him. And even away from the burning bush, as Moses was going to go into Egypt and to rescue the people there, God promised Moses, I am with you. You don't need to be fearful. I'm with you. But of course, in the New Testament then, when it comes to Jesus, even more powerful than God's presence in the Old Testament, because here is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, fully divine, but fully human as well, stepped down from heaven, clothed in human flesh. And here he is, not just on the pages of Scripture, but in human history. And as we've said so often, he went around doing good, healing people, performing miracles, teaching truth, and ultimately dying on the cross for us. God with us. It's an amazing truth. It took the disciples a long time to realize who Jesus really was. And lots of people at the time thought, well, perhaps he's a prophet. Perhaps that's who he is. Perhaps he's a miracle worker. Because it was too amazing for them that he could possibly be Emmanuel, God with us. And again, we're so used to that truth, aren't we? That Jesus Christ is God himself, that maybe the wonder and the amazement of it has gone for us. But Jesus is God with us. And here's the wonderful thing. That even though Jesus has now ascended back to heaven, he is still with us. Those wonderful words at the end of Matthew's gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. But as part of that, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So whilst Jesus was here in flesh, as it were, as a human being during that short time on earth, he is still with us in spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' presence known to every believer. And that's something that we can experience every day. Whether we're in church or at home, in work, school, wherever it might be, we can know the presence of Jesus Christ because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, those are the first two names of Jesus that are mentioned in this passage. But there's a third name, or this time really a title of Jesus that's given to us here in this passage. It's mentioned first in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. So Christ is a title. We still have titles today, don't we? Sometimes people call me the Reverend Mark Barnes. Reverend is a title. It's not one I particularly like, if I'm honest, but one that sometimes people use. Perhaps other people might have the title of Dr. So-and-so. That's a title. Or Professor So-and-so. Again, that's a title. And these titles represent something that's been accomplished, something that's been done. You can't be a reverend unless you've been ordained. You can't be a doctor unless you've passed lots of exams. You can't be a professor unless you've been appointed to a special chair in a university, a teaching position in a university. We have these special titles, and they're all about what's been accomplished. And that's what it is for the Lord Jesus, because he is the Christ. Christ is the same word as Messiah. Messiah, Hebrew, Christ, Greek, and it means the anointed one. So as Jesus is called the Christ, it means he's been anointed. Well, that's all very well, but what does it mean to be anointed? Well, in ancient times, they had a tradition that if somebody was going to be the king, rather than simply putting a crown on their head, that happens nowadays, doesn't it? Someone is crowned as a king or as a queen. In ancient days, they were anointed as a king. And it means they had some oil and they poured that oil on the king's head. The idea of the oil was it represented God's blessing or the Spirit of God on that person. And it was a recognition, therefore, that a king was somebody who was supposed to serve God, not just do their own thing, but someone even who was appointed by God himself. So as Jesus is called the Christ or the Anointed One, it's a bit like saying Jesus is the King. But of course, it wasn't just kings who were anointed. Priests were also anointed as well in Old Testament times. When a priest was appointed, they were anointed too. Again, the idea was the same. The idea was that this person has been chosen by God himself. And priests had a very special role, of course. They weren't to rule like kings were. A priest was someone who was a mediator between men and women and between God. A mediator is someone who stands in between. So maybe if you've had a terrible row with somebody and you've fallen out, maybe that person won't speak to you ever again. Well, you can't go and say sorry because they won't speak to you ever again. But maybe you'll ask a friend, and the friend will go to that person and say, look, so-and-so is really very sorry. They want to be your friend again. And a mediator can help to make things up between two people who are enemies with each other. And that's what a priest was to do. A priest would offer sacrifices on your behalf to God. And a priest would be a mediator then between you and God. You see, we couldn't come to God just as we are because of our sin. Our sin kept us from God's presence. But through the sacrificial system and through the priests, God made a way. But those priests, of course, were only a temporary appointment to show us the true reality that would come in Jesus Christ, the great high priest who would offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross, and he would be the mediator between men and God. So if we want to come to God the Father, we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know our sins forgiven, our sins washed away. And that enables then us to boldly approach the throne of grace and come to the Father himself, because Christ is the great mediator and priest. But again, as we read our Old Testament, we discover it wasn't just kings who were anointed, it wasn't just prophets who were priests who were anointed, but prophets were anointed too. This seems to happen less often in the Bible, but it did certainly happen. Elisha, for example, was anointed as a prophet. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 19. And he was there as Elijah's successor. He was anointed as a prophet. Again, the idea is the same, that this is of God's choosing. The oil represents God's Spirit. And Jesus, too, is a prophet. He's prophet, priest, and king. He's a king because he rules over the universe. He's a priest because he's a mediator between men and God. He's a prophet because he speaks the truth from God. So Jesus, therefore, his name given by his Father is Jesus, the Savior. God saves, the rescuer. His nickname, if you like, Emmanuel, God with us. His title, Christ, And all that together helps us to understand who Jesus is, what he has done, and why he is so special to each one of us. There's far more that could be said about the names of Jesus. Maybe if you ever get some spare time and you'd like to think more about the Lord Jesus, you could go through the Gospels or the other New Testament, or you could have a look online and find out even more of other names that Jesus has been given, or other titles that Jesus has been given, like Son of God or Son of Man. There are many more, and we can learn lots from them. But today, Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, the Anointed or Promised One.